बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
So there, this verse is a very special verse, what we are about to recite, 16th one. It's a memorization verse.
सारथ्यपारषदसेवनसख्यदौत्या वीरासनानुगमनस्तवनप्रणामान् स्निग्धेषु पाण्डुषु जगत्प्रणतिं च विष्णोर् भक्तिं करोति नृपतिश्चरणारविन्दे।
Yeah, please tell the translation, please.
Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, night watchman, etc. According to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years, when he heard this, Maharaj Parikshit became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord.
And Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna is everything to the unalloyed devotees like the Pandavas. He was Supreme Lord, he was spiritual master, he was worshipable deity, he was the guide, he was a chariot driver, the friend, he became servant and went as a Shantidut, isn't it? The messenger and everything they could conceive of. Amazing, no? The Pandavas' blessed position. And thus the Lord also reciprocated the feelings of the Pandavas. Maharaj Parikshit, as a pure devotee of the Lord, could appreciate the Lord's transcendental reciprocation of the feelings of his devotees. And thus he himself also was overwhelmed with the dealings of the Lord. So his heart was resonating with the message, what he heard. Simply by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his pure devotees, one can attain salvation. See, Prabhupada says, how do we get liberated from this world? Only by appreciating the dealings of the Lord with his devotees. The Lord's dealing with his devotees appear to be ordinary human dealings. But one who knows them in truth, tatpataha, he becomes eligible to go back to Godhead. The Pandavas were so malleable to the will of the Lord that they could sacrifice any amount of energy for the service of the Lord. And by such unalloyed determination, they could secure the Lord's mercy in any shape they desired. Any shape means Lord could become their Shantidut, Lord could become their friend, Lord could become their chariot driver, Lord could become one of the servants in the Ratsuya Yajna, washing the feet of sages. And Lord could become their spiritual master, he could become their guide. And Lord became their protector in dangers. So like this, Lord became so many. It's a very beautiful verse it is. Now this section is starting. Symptoms of Kali versus modern day education. It's 1621. Read the 17, 18, 19 translations, please.
Now you may hear from me of what happened while Maharaj Parikshit was passing his days hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in thought of them. The personality of religious principles, Dharma, was wandering about in the form of a bull, and he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned the earth as follows.
So Vishwanatha Thakur says this cow-bull conversation was visible only to the divine eyes of Parikshit. He says, everybody could not see because this bull is not ordinary bull. What bull is this? Dharma personified. And cow is Bhumi Devi we call now. So both are very special personalities. So they could not be visible to the ordinary people. But Parikshit was given that vision so he could see them. Yes. Like for example, when a devotee walks in the road, the three gunas are visible for a devotee who is enlightened in the knowledge of the three gunas. Like a devotee sees, oh, these are sense gratifiers, they are just struggling in this world and suffering, poor fellows. And then the devotee says, oh, those are devotees of the Lord. They are rightly placed. Huh? They are aligned with the Lord. They are chanting, dancing and serving. So they are happy. So a devotee has this vision, but a common man cannot have the vision. Especially the subtle things existing all around us, like how the kala is acting, how the karma is acting, how the gunas are acting. Such vision is only possible for a devotee who is not only trained in knowledge, but also who is more realized by spiritual practice. So they can have the vision to see very clearly. So Parikshit is naturally a very exalted devotee. So he is able to see the dharma and earth having a... How many of you can see with your eyes the tug of war between religion and irreligion in modern times, correct? You can see that. So and also we can see, which means we have to have a vision that surpasses the ages also. So how Satya Yuga was, how Treta Yuga was, and how the Kali Yuga is. So the Shastras talk about the invasion of Kali Yuga and mass scale degradation in spiritual culture. So we have to read from the Bhagavatam and see through those eyes. Like in the 12th canto, you find, you know, Dampatye Abhiruchir Hetu. He says, the husband, man, woman choose one another as partners based on the sensual attraction or based on the superficial beauty, bodily beauty. And he says, Vipratve Sutramevahi. He says, the Brahmanas will have only sacred thread, 25 paisa thread. Claim that I am a Brahman Pujari, they will say. He says. Like that he says, Lavanyam, Kesha Dharanam. He says, men will have long hair and women will have short hair in Kali Yuga. Women will keep very short and men will keep very long hair, he says. So, nowadays you can find, if they don't have too long hair, at least a funk they have. You've seen that? So, in this way, you find the Kali Yuga symptoms are slowly becoming manifest nowadays, everywhere. And then he's saying that the many things like this, if you read the 12th canto. So, we can read, hear that, and then look at the world with those eyes of Shastra Chakshu. Then we get to see Kali in action. Otherwise, we may not know how the Kali is acting. Similarly, not only in the outside world, even in our life, like we all are living in the temple, practicing Krishna consciousness, and we have to keep Kali in bay. Otherwise, if Kali enters into the temple, into the lives of devotees, then everything will go to dogs. Everything will go to degradation. You will see that. How can Kali enter into our lives? For example, the meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex have their subtle components. Now, meat eating means violence towards others. It also includes harsh speech. It also includes harming others, either physically or emotionally. That is also included in meat eating. And in gambling, it includes speculation, speculating. That means when we start reading too many self-help books and not studying Shastra, and our brahmacharis may be considered very smart people who are very good in presenting according to the audience. And we read stuff from self-help books and cheat them and cheat ourselves also. So in this way, speculation can become very prominent. Especially educated brahmacharis these days have access to so many materials. If you are not very cautious in screening them, we can become speculators and we will commit gambling. So, that type of speculation also happens when people invest money in some shares and their mind is in tension about, you know, whether I'll multiply this money 10 rupee into 10,000 rupees or I will lose all the money. So, in this way, each of them, intoxication means false pride, and illicit sex means desire for name, fame, glory, adoration. So these are all Kalis, and these are all four types of adharmic activities. So they can enter into even a community and they can really shake up the devotional service, which is supposed to be the central theme of a devotee's life. So therefore, the Parikshit Maharaj, you will see how he kept Kali in bay. He didn't allow Kali to enter into his society. And illicit sex is taking on various forms. Like one devotee has asked a question now here. He is saying that nowadays there is a lot of material on WhatsApp and other media. Many of that is very spiritual. Some can be made spiritual, and it's very suitable to the modern people. Its content, it connects them. It has good word jugglery also. And I saw many famous guru and preachers also using it. That is touching to many people's heart also. So what is your opinion for this? So I asked my spiritual master, what is your opinion about Facebook? He said, you want my personal opinion? Yes, Maharaj. It's all simply useless. He said, useless waste of time, he said. And then he gave explanation to this. He said, if you connect with people with such superficial information, you will only get superficial people. You will not get deep people. If you directly connect with Shastra and teach them, you will get deep people. So, for example, you use some word jugglery to give some information that is titillating to their intelligence. And you supply, or you give some WhatsApp pictures and everything you keep sending. So eventually you will get people who will want to take spiritual life lightly. And they are never going to come to 16 rounds. They don't, you know, you don't elevate them. They don't commit their lives. There are, all over the world nowadays, there are thousands of devotees who don't increase the rounds beyond 2 rounds also. Thousands! In lakhs, you can say. There are lakhs of devotees worldwide who don't chant more than 1 or 2 rounds. They say, we also go to ISKCON, I also chant Hare Krishna, and their whole life goes. Now, when in their life they are going to become serious devotees, God knows. Correct? Do you want to go? If your goal is to preach to a lakh people who may once in a while chant 1 round, once in a week or twice in a week they may chant 1 round. If that is your goal, then it is wonderful, this idea. But if you want to make committed devotees, those who chant 16 rounds, become initiated, become dedicated as brahmacharya or grihastha, in one of the ashramas, you want them to become an active member of the community. These are not the tools. The tool is Bhagavatam. You have to study Bhagavatam for that. Bhagavatam is direct medicine also. And it is such a beautiful medicine. After you get cured also, you can keep taking this medicine. Just like we say, in Ayurveda, there are certain medicines which you have to take. For example, when you have jaundice, you take sugar cane juice, correct? After the jaundice is cured also, still you can take sugarcane juice, it's very healthy. You know, the fruits, they say, if you are eating kela, they have a slogan for each. Kela, akela, they say. You should not eat with food. Banana should be taken separately. Similarly, for pomegranate, they have a slogan. Ek anar, sau bimar. 100 diseases can be cured by only one pomegranate. I mean, hundreds of diseases, not one pomegranate. Pomegranate is such a fruit. Hundreds of diseases get cured by eating pomegranate. Nice pomegranate if you get it. So, if you see, they cure the disease also. After the disease is over, are you allowed to eat pomegranate or not? Yeah, they are still healthy for you, correct, no? So, Krishna consciousness is like that. They will cure the disease. After the disease is cured, still you can continue chanting, dancing. Before curing, you do it as a duty. After curing, you do it in ecstasy. Correct, no? So, but on the other hand, this Facebook and internet, they tell a lot of stories. These stories can be very dangerous, some of the stories. Unless you are an advanced preacher, you know how to screen some good ones and use them. And not, there are many, many wrong concepts are being passed through the stories also. One example I'll tell you, so that you will get an idea what I'm talking about. You see, there is one concept amongst the materialists called as feeling good about oneself. Feeling good about oneself. So once Parampuja Radhana Swami Maharaj was telling, how can you feel good about your body? This body is obnoxious. It is emanating all foul-smelling substances. You can't feel good about the body. But the materialists don't know anything beyond the body. They think they are this body. So what is the meaning of feeling good about oneself as they keep talking in their writings, books and everything. Basically, they don't want a negative attitude. They want to have a positive attitude about themselves, about life. They bluff many stories like this. There are many, many little stories they write based on this one principle. Maharaj was telling that If you really want to feel good about yourself, you will only be able to feel like that when you realize yourself as Amsh of Krishna. Krishna is all good, I am also his Amsh. So therefore, you know, I also have some goodness in me, but right now I am covered over by impurity, which has to be removed. That is actually a perfect understanding. Without that, artificially, you know, imagining, you know, feel good, don't feel bad about you, everything is all right with you, be positive. You know? Say, for example, I take a car and I want to go to Leh Meridian Hotel near Pune station. But I have the Leh Meridian map of Bombay. And now I go in my car, and while going in the car, I tell my friend, hey, I'm not able to find the hotel with this map. And he says, hey, be very positive. Drive the car very positively. Think positively. You should not say the hotel is not here. If you are positive, you will find out. Can we find out? No matter how much positive you have a wrong map with you. Similarly, the right map is Shastra. Wrong map is self-help books. You see, we will be cheating ourselves. So we have to be very careful with all these messages which come. There are, like, you know, His Holiness Jayadutt Swami Maharaj was giving a class in Chopati. One devotee asked a question. Maharaj, I heard one story from a friend. And then he asked the question, you know, how do you understand this, he says. And then Maharaj immediately asked him, where is that story from? Which Purana? He asked. And the devotee was like scratching the hair and said, you know, is it your friend Purana? You know, Maharaj asked. Or is it WhatsApp Purana? Yeah. Because in WhatsApp and Facebook, many, many things come and they don't quote the source. From here and there, people write speculative things. If we are not advanced in subtle consciousness, we can't even know that we are being led into a wrong understanding. You will be caught by the, you know, hand and led to a wrong understanding by reading those things. Very risky it is. I won't personally do that at all. Although I also do get from devotees, some devotees send, I have told them not to send me also. I said, to send me from proper Shastra or Purana if you have something evidence to quote. Prabhupada said it. Or some great personality has said it, but it has to have direct connection to Shastra, then only we can take. There are principles which are universal principles. We have to make sure that the things they are feeding us are not some concoction, speculations. So, therefore I am telling you that Kali nowadays has become extremely subtle. How Kali can enter into our system. It is not just only gross slaughterhouses for meat eating and gambling casinos like in Las Vegas. It's not only that. Kali is entering in very, very subtle ways. And even sometimes you may not be able to detect it also, you see. So apart from these four regulative principles, Kali has two other brahmastras, which is hypocrisy and quarrel. Hypocrisy individually and quarrel collectively. So when devotees want to come for a sangha, Kali can create quarrel between them so that they cannot come together and discuss and glorify the Lord. You see? And individually, then when a devotee becomes individual, he will do some mischievous activities and try to hide it. One of the four related principles and say that I am all right, I am wonderful. So these two are also great astras of Kali. So we are in 19th one. Okay, Dharma is speaking now, correct? Okay, read that, 19, 20, 21.
Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked, Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with a shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place?
See, Prabhupada writing in the purport, in the age of Kali, from the very faces of people, we can understand that everyone is feeling absence of his relative who is away from home. He's saying, like parents are in India, children are abroad, correct, no? And even in India also, husband is working in one city, wife is working in another city. Like that he's saying. The particular symptom of age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together, you know, father, mother, children. Also, when we were small kids, I clearly remember father would return home at night, you know, mother, father, all children would sit together in a circle and eating, chatting, exchanging. The family atmosphere was there. But nowadays things are changing. Children are going for tuition. They come late. And the fathers also come late from the company. And sometimes children see their father only once in a week on a Sunday. Calling the father, Sunday father. Other days, child doesn't. Because if child gets up in the morning at 8 o'clock, father is already gone to company. Now child sleeps at 9 o'clock and the father is coming at 10. So the child sees father only on Sunday. So in this way, Prabhupada is talking about, in the purport, Prabhupada gives the Kali symptoms based on the translation. Then 20th one.
I have lost my three legs and I am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for the living beings because of their sufferings due to famine and drought?
Yeah. The Prabhupada says, with the progress of Kali, what happens? Four things. Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam. Lokan Ashishevacha, that is quoting actually. All these things are degrading. And then two lines later saying, when 3/4 of the population of the whole world becomes irreligious, the situation is converted into hell for the animals. He's saying that means more than 80-90% of the world population eats meat. Then below he proposes, the first class faithful men are the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, then Kshatriyas and then Vaishya Shudras, is saying. The degradation of human instinct begins from the Mlechas and the Chandala state of his life. In this last, is the last word in human degradation, he's saying. That means dog eaters, people who eat dogs. Mlecha means one who eats cow flesh. Like that. And then Prabhupada is saying, 2-3 lines later, one can acquire the respective qualifications by one's own efforts. And thus the son of a Vaishnava can become a Mlecha. Or the son of a Chandala can also become more than a Brahmana. All in terms of their association and intimate relation with the Supreme Lord. The meat eaters in general are called Mlechas. But all meat eaters are not Mlechas. Those who accept meat in terms of scriptural injunctions are not Mlechas. But those who accept meat without restriction are called Mlechas. So Prabhupada is clarifying. So, as we proceed to 21 was the verse we were actually planning to speak something. Arakshamana Striya Urvi Balan Shochasyatho Purushadai Rivartan Vacham Devi Brahmakule Kukarmani Abrahmanye Raja Kule Kulagrayan. Yeah.
Are you feeling compunction for the unhappy women and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning...
See, arakshyamana. Arakshyamana means not protected. Who? Striya and Balan. Correct, no? The women and the children. Yeah. And then shochasi. Are you lamenting? Because purusha adehi iva arthan. Those who are... who are the second one? The men, the goddess of learning Saraswati is being handled by Brahmanas addicted to principles against religion. Correct, no? Yeah. Vacham Devi Brahmakule Kukarmani. That's the third one. And then he's saying, are you sorry to see that the Brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families? Abrahmanye Rajakule. That means, instead of Brahmanas giving wisdom to the Kshatriyas, they have become subservient to accepting posts and positions from the Kshatriyas for receiving salary like a Shudra. Therefore, you will find in the colleges and other places, the teachers are told to teach mundane material science and they are paid money only for teaching material science. So the Brahmanas are not allowed to give the spiritual wisdom to the children at all. Rather, the money holders, they are holding the men for propagating mundane atheistic science. Adri is saying. Yeah, read that. Did it complete it?
or you are sorry to see,
or are you unhappy because of the goddess of learning is being handled by brahmanas addicted to acts against principles of religion?
Or are you sorry to see that the brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families that do not respect brahminical culture?
Correct. Read the purport, very important purport. Yeah.
In the age of Kali, the women and the children, along with brahmanas and cows, will be grossly neglected and left unprotected.
Like, how many of you have seen cows wandering in the roads? You see, no? That's what he's saying, yes? Actually, why the farmers leave them on the road? Because I heard that once a cow stops giving milk, the farmer finds it difficult to maintain also, because cows need fodder, grass, you need a lot of place in the villages. You can't maintain a cow in the city. Huh? And the farmers are not able to spend money to, you know, maintain a cow which doesn't give milk, because they say we are poor. So then the cows are, then they leave the cows because they know that if I send it to slaughterhouse, then I will be sent to hell. So instead what they do? They leave it in the road. Huh? And the cows wander here and there and need plastic papers. You know, and they suffer like this. So maintaining cow also is a costly affair. You heard that? If you have your own, you know, for you have your own a few acres of land of green grass, then it may be lesser. But if you don't have, you know, if you have to purchase eatables and feed the cow, it's very costly affair. So in Kali Yuga, in this way, in the Vedic times, the Vaishyas were very rich. Huh? They had a lot of money and they could maintain the cow very easily. Any number of cows, lakhs of cows they could maintain, correct, no? So in Kali Yuga, the poor people are having cows, but they are not able to maintain. They leave it in the roads and then some other persons come and pick them up and take them to slaughterhouse, kill them. Very unfortunate. Same way with children also, he is saying, some man, woman come together, they unite and they beget a child and leave it like a slum child. Huh? And they become, later on they join Daud Abraham or some gunda. Huh? These children become very grave, very big problem in menacing society, Varna Sankara. Go ahead.
In this age, illicit connection with women will render many women and children uncared for. Circumstantially, the women will try to become independent of the protection of man.
Because of ego clashes. Huh? Because women are educated, man is also educated. Both are working, both are bringing money. So sometimes the woman, when the woman feels that the man is saying something irritating to her, so then she may speak up something. One thing is when we are money bringers, it can go to our head. Huh? Whether it's a man or a woman. I am bringing money, I am the breadwinner in the house. So it's not that he brings money, I am also bringing money. So that kind of, then there is a competition for who is better, who is greater, who is working more hard and things like that. So of course I don't say that, you know, the husband wife, if both are working, they can be a cooperative and happy family. There are some families also. But as Prabhupada says here, somehow or other in Kali Yuga, the joint family system is broken down. So there is no grandfather, grandmother, uncle, aunt, you know, all these relationships of buva, kaka, you know, bhatija, and what else you have? All these names, correct? No? Chacha ji, mama ji, all these relationships are rarely, you know, brought to action, because even I have seen my sister's marriage, I have seen there were more than 3,000 people practically. 2,000, 3,000 people, all relatives. It was a big two, three-day program in those days. Nowadays, marriage is 100, 200 people. Huh? Huh? Yeah, it is not too many. Huh? Not inviting all this. And also, the crowd has reduced. And also, when the nuclear family means husband, wife only. They don't have... So the problems are not solved by the elders. And the elders are unable to offer their advice. Generally, I have seen in families where elders are there, they will call the, you know, lady or the man and say, adjust karke chalo, sab theek ho jayega, thoda adjust kar lo, bas. Bhagwan ke upar chod do, bas. Chalo. Now people say, Bhagwan ke upar kya chodne ka? Now chodunga nahi bhi isko. Correct, no? And both of them, tooth and nail, they want to prove I am right. So nobody wants to improve. Everybody wants to prove. So when everybody says, I am right, you are telling me to improve, tell him to improve, or tell her to improve. So therefore he is saying, the marriage, Prabhupada is saying, women will try to become independent of the protection of men. Even in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada, when women were traveling in train alone, men were smoking cigarettes, and Prabhupada saw the chai was being sold. Prabhupada said, the British people have ruined India. Prabhupada says that. So they have introduced this coffee and tea, and the women are traveling alone. Prabhupada was very sorry. Even in his times, he saw that. So he's saying like that. And then he's saying that the marriage will be performed as a matter of formal agreement between man and woman, which means some people do only registered marriage. In most cases, the children will not be taken care of properly. The Brahmanas are traditionally intelligent men, and thus they will be able to pick up modern education to the topmost rank. But as far as moral and religious principles are concerned, they shall be the most fallen. That means you will see the boys coming from Brahmana family, they will get into, you know, good meritorious education institutions where they will study and go to America. Because traditionally they have a brain coming in their gotram, the lineage, you know. So they may have the certain type of brain, but that brain is being misused, Prabhupada is saying. It's used only for what education? Material education. The Brahmana is supposed to study Shastra and relish Shastra and distribute Shastra. Instead of that, they will be studying about machines. They are, like for example, or they are doing this coding and writing algorithm, sitting with the computer, debugging programs. They are spending all their energy, intelligence in that. So they will make a lot of money. They may take a green card and settle in America also. So education and bad character go ill together. But such things will run parallel in Kali Yuga, which means people will have bad character and they will have high education. The administrative heads as a class will condemn the tenets of Vedic wisdom and will prefer to conduct a so-called secular state. And the so-called educated Brahmanas will be purchased by such unscrupulous administrators. Even a philosopher and writer of many books on religious principles may also accept an exalted post in a government which denies all the moral codes of Shastra. Actually, a Brahmana should never work for an atheist, but in modern times, they may be forced to work also, and they will accept salary and go on. The Brahmanas are specifically restricted from accepting such service. But in this age, they will not only accept service, but they will do so even if it is of the meanest quality. These are some of the symptoms of Kali age, which are harmful to the general welfare of human society. So Prabhupada is giving symptoms of Kali, and along with that, side by side, is explaining the modern day education. So the education is for formation of character, but in the modern times, the education will be for filling up belly. You will see that nowadays the colleges and institutes are offering courses. They say that we will only place you immediately. You complete this computer course, directly we'll place you in the company. You just cram and vomit this, we will place you immediately. Basically, education for filling up belly immediately, survival. That has become the goal. And there is no education to build the character. There is one reason for that. Because people think, why should I worry about character so much? How is it going to help me immediately? You see, the reason why people are not very much eager for learning values. In the morning I was telling you, I'll continue that theme now. If you go to cities like Mumbai, even in Pune to some degree also, the parents fear that if my son will be taught Gita, Bhagavat and all, and he becomes very polite boy, respectful and humble. Agreed, he may have good qualities, but the society outside is very ferocious. They will exploit him. They will dance on his head. They will suppress him, control him. And if you are a God-fearing person, people may lord over you and you may stand to lose. And then they think, on the other hand, modern-day society, people are very shrewd, cunning. They know how to, you know, do backbiting, leg pulling. These things are a necessary part of modern day life for one to survive and grow. Like that parents are thinking. And then they say, therefore, if you teach Bhagavad Gita in the school or anywhere, some parents oppose also. Yeah, don't make our children religious. Don't make them pious. So let them, you know, face the outside world and win in life. According to them, winning means making a lot of money. Or going to America, then you are winning life. You can have character like an animal. But if you go to America, they say you are winning in life. That's all. So, in such a scenario, when you have to teach Krishna consciousness, devotees should be able to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to children in such a manner that instead of presenting them as values, we can present them as skills. Like for example, you say behavioral science. So when you give a name behavioral science, your child will learn how to behave nicely with parents, nicely with teachers, and nicely with elders. And such, by such nice behavior, and we can also use terms like personality development. If you say personality development or equipping them with skills to be, you know, to be able to live in life. Actually, when you present like this, then they are sometimes willing to listen. But along with that skills, we have to present values. Because without values, nobody can be a human being. You see, there are personal values, there are interpersonal values, there are social values, there are spiritual values. So all these values have to be embedded in their character right from very early stage. Therefore, like my father used to give many books to read, like Charles Dickens and Shakespeare's and all these things. Why? When I was very small, school-going kid, he would tell me that when you read these books, these are all very great authors. They are very wise, very intelligent, and they have appreciated message of Gita, like Henry David Thoreau, for example. So he would say that we have to broaden our intelligence in terms of dealing with other living beings. So when you have basic human courtesy, from there to develop spiritual values is very easy, beyond that. Therefore, the out of the three gunas, the sattva guna is very close to coming to Shuddha Sattva, isn't it? Like if you go to airport, you are likely to take a plane and fly up. If you are going on the road in a car, your car is never going to fly, isn't it? So the modern education, far from talking about character, these days if you see in the colleges, I heard in one college they did Ram Navami recently. I heard how they did Ram Navami. 11 o'clock, three teachers came together. They called one Panditji. He brought one Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman deity in one of the small offices. And they did puja in the morning, 11 o'clock. Three professors, Chandan Kumkum, they put. And they rang the bell and they did puja. They did namaskar to Ramchandraji. This is morning program, I mean 11 o'clock. In the staff room only. And evening, you know, between night, 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock, they actually celebrated Ram Navami. They said, as what is the Ram Navami between 8 to 11? They said, DJ, they call it. Big amplifiers. This is what they did. They put, and all the boys and girls are dancing in discotheque. I don't know where is Lord Ram, where is Lakshman, where is Hanuman, where is Sita. And I laughed at it, like all of you laughed now. I also laughed when I heard it. And the boys are pretty serious. Babaji, this is the kind of celebration we have regularly. In a year, they have 3-4 festivals. Whether Lord Ram appears, DJ. Krishna appears, DJ only. For everything. Whoever appears, they don't care who has appeared. Isn't it? Just boys, girls come and do discotheque, that's all. This is the way, this is Kali Yuga Ram Navami celebration. And you see how the Ganesh Utsav is celebrated. If you go and see the different Ganesh displays, if you see one place they put Ganesh with the cricket bat also. Another place they put Ganesh and some skeleton is hanging. All crazy things. So, far from being religious, sometimes you feel, why are they unnecessarily bringing Ganesh? Do whatever you want. You know, keep Ganesh aside, poor Ganesh. You know, you feel like that. You feel very sorry, you see. So, and then later on when I asked this question to myself, why people are celebrating Ganesh Utsav like this, then I understood they don't have education. They don't have any spiritual education. They don't know who is Ganesh, who is Krishna, who is Ram. So those three professors who celebrated Ram Navami in the morning, you know, they did in their own staff room in a small way, calling some Panditji. You know, that college didn't oppose because it's a private affair, because we are a secular college. We are not supposed to, you know, we are not supposed to openly celebrate Ram Navami with big Sita Ram and everything and all. But then for doing DJ, there is freedom. So therefore, in modern day, modern education means their only religion is sense gratification. That is the name of the religion. That everybody agrees. You are American, I am Indian, come let us drink together, cheers, and drink liquor. They are ready for that religion. So we can, nothing wrong in calling these people two-legged animals. Dvipada Pashu, as Shastra say that. So, in this way, the word education comes from educare. Educare means to bring out what is within you. The spiritual, beautiful personality within you should be brought out according to education. In fact, in the earlier times, if you have to learn some vocational training, for that education is not necessary. You just go to, like you want to learn welding, you want to learn smithy, you want to learn turning, you want to do painting, you want to do milling, drilling, all these things. You just have to go and become apprentice under somebody. Just watch him for 1 year and then you can do it also. Tailoring, you just see. That is not counted as education at all. It is vocational training. But the real education is for formation of character. Therefore, man-making and not money-making is the goal of education. So, but modern times there is no talk about man-making at all. Man-making means bringing out the ideal personality, or we can say bringing out the angel within us, not the animal within us. So, this is a very good subject for us to talk to top authorities in colleges or schools who are little concerned about the students. Now a new thing is coming up in the recent time. Here I was sitting in the temple hall. One madam brought some 150-200 children here for darshan. So then I told the madam, "Madam, it's very nice that you have brought your entire school for darshan here in our temple." Then the madam said, "Oh, we had to bring these children. They were doing so much atrocity in the school. They are not allowing teachers to have peace of mind. They are yelling and shouting and beating on the bench and pulling each other's collar, biting one another, all kinds of atrocities. And they are very uncontrolled." And I asked the madam, "Why? What do you think? Why so?" They said, "This is because of the media. Everybody is having a mobile and watching so many things in that. They are learning many bad habits very fast." So she was telling that, "I just want to bring them regularly here, and you, because they are very, they want to be very active, you make them dance," or Manjunath who made them sing and dance in circles. He made them into circles and made them sing and dance. So I could understand this is one very good reason for us to reach out to the schools and colleges. You can tell them, "See, if you don't give them knowledge of values and character, you know, they will eat your head. They will not allow you to peacefully teach them." So, and many teachers today will admit the children of today are very difficult to make them sit in the class and teach peacefully. Their senses are very uncontrolled. So here is a very good opportunity for us to package the Bhagavad Gita philosophy to the schools and colleges. You can tell them, "Your children don't have sense control. They don't have mind control. They don't have, you know, they don't have good behavior towards elders. And they are irresponsible in their education studies." So when you, and also you can see that as they graduate, they cannot cogently, you know, write a letter. They cannot speak a few words of wisdom. They are, they are empty in the, when you tell something about, you know, meaning and goal of life, they'll be blinking with no knowledge. But they are talking all of the rubbish. So in this way, we can take Srila Prabhupada's books and package it in a way that the schools, colleges can accept. And Prabhupada is saying the Brahmana boys is talking about, you will see that people born in Brahmana families, due to their lineage, there is some bit of extra power they get. What do you call that? There is one word for that, I don't remember in English. Like they have extra power they get by lineage. It's not their qualification, huh? Because of the blood lineage in which they are coming. Hereditary power. Hereditary, that's the correct word, perfect word it is. Because of heredity, they will have some brain. Special brain means they may be able to remember things, they may be able to repeat things, they may be able to make decisions, they may be able to be, they may be able to outsmart others, those who are, and these things come to them without any separate effort for it. They may pronounce Sanskrit very perfectly, possible. But these advantages which the Brahminical children have, this should be, I heard that when Alexander came to India, there are many good things about Alexander also, people say. One of the bad things I heard, that once he arranged to, arrange for some 80 or 100 Brahmanas to be killed in some area, because he was telling that these are the fellows who are intelligentsia behind the whole country. Because these people actually, they give the map for others to work, like that. So, in this way, when these Brahmanas having some abilities, they can become Brahmarakshas by modern day education. Brahmanas become Brahmarakshas. What is Brahmarakshas? Like Brahmana can become Brahmana also, good Brahmana, qualified Brahmana, or they become Brahmarakshas. Brahmarakshas means what? They are equipped with material science and they speak against God. They may publish books like this, Dawkins. Dawkins wrote a book, God Delusion. He's a Brahmarakshas. Why Brahmarakshas? Because they will use their intelligence to word jugglery they will use and fascinate people. But they will lead people to atheism. On the other hand, if the Brahmanas are trained properly at the right age, when they grow up, then they will use their brain for glorifying God. You see, many spiritual organizations also try to tap. Some of our boys were in the COEP college. So this Brahma Kumari people had come, they arranged some competition, they identified 3 toppers. So they took them to Mount Abu, and then they kept them for 2 weeks training and everything. So many religious organizations are also tapping some of the intelligent people. But then whatever they feed them, that's what those people speak, isn't it? Therefore, all the people in the society who are good writers, good speakers, good cultural performers, artists, so we have to identify them who are influential in society, and they have to be cultivated and introduced to Krishna consciousness, give them a gift of Bhagavad Gita. Just like Hema Malini Mataji became a devotee, Gopakrishna Maharaj's disciple. In that way, I heard that there are some few. You heard that congresswoman from America, who, Tulsi Gabbard, like that. So there are a handful of people connected to ISKCON like that. But the idea is, if we don't reach out to them, then somebody else will reach them, and they'll be bluffing, correct, no? They'll be speaking some other nonsense, you see, instead of speaking the right thing. Therefore, in the modern day education, which is taking the Brahminical intelligence of the people and feeding them with material science, it's a great disservice. So you go to Srirangam. I had gone to Srirangam 2 years ago. I met this Velukudi Krishnan, very famous speaker. So he had completed his 35 years. Now he was 36 or so. At that time he thought, why should I be a chartered accountant? His father was a very great orator, spiritual orator, Sri Vaishnava orator. So he also left his profession as a chartered accountant. And he started giving preachings. So now every morning appears in TV. 20 minutes he speaks, pure Sri Vaishnava speaker. He doesn't deviate from the Shastra. He just sticks to Shastra very nicely. So when I had met him, he was telling that one of his mission was, all the Sri Vaishnavas who have left the Divya Desams in South India, most of them are in America, he was telling. So he went to Seattle and gave a program. He speaks in Tamil and English, both he speaks. When he spoke, 5,000 such people had come. 5,000 people program. Of course, he's a very, very famous speaker. 5,000 people came. In his lecture, he told them, why have you left India, Sri Vaishnava Divya Desams, and you have come here to America, you know, to make dollar notes here. Now you have made some money. Come back. Come back and go back to your holy places. Come to Srirangam, come to this place, and all these places, and again, make these holy places vibrant, like it was before in Ramanuja's times. And you intelligent people have left your places and come to America. Now these Divyadesams are being neglected. And many of the temples have become very antique, only like historical places where people come and click photos, some stone structures. The lordships are not worshipped sufficiently well. Visitors are coming more like monument watching people. So they were telling, wow, now that we have come to America, we are used to American comfort. We don't know how can we come back. But don't worry, we are hearing your lecture through, you know, TV. We are hearing you 20 minutes in the morning, we hear. That's why we have come for your lecture. He said, I am coming in TV so that I can pull you back to India, and you are watching in TV sitting there only. Then when I went and talked to him, he was telling me, this is our problem. Many of the religious Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, they have left India and gone to West, and there also they made some small temple and life is going on for them. But many holy places in India are neglected, you are selling. So in this way, with the invasion of the British and before that Mughals, you know, the India's cultural roots and spiritual roots and religious roots have been really spoiled. And now what we see is British people have thoroughly, you know, permeated into the culture of India. And now what we see today, therefore Prabhupada is writing these things. Now this is also one clue for us. In case you come across intelligent boys, intelligent girls who come from good families, or Brahminical families, you know, we should definitely give them Prabhupada's books. They may read, and some of them may be inclined also. Some of them may become Brahmarakshas, already I told you. But some of them may become inclined, and spotting out intelligent people and giving them the spiritual knowledge, connecting them to Srila Prabhupada's movement and waking them up is one of our very vital duties also. Otherwise, so there are two types of people. The leaders who are trendsetters and direction showers who march in the front, whom other people follow. Even Krishna talks about such people. Yadyada acharati sreshtaha, he says. They may be political leaders, they may be religious leaders, they may be leaders in educational line or sports or, you know, culture and different fields. And they may be writers, they may be eloquent speakers. So those leaders have to be identified and touched. If we don't do, the gullible masses are misled by such leaders in mass proportions. So, and the followers whom you can get in a big number also. They flow by the wind. If wind flows this way, they will flow this way or that way. So we need thinkers, logicians, and intelligent, educated people. And Prabhupada wanted it. Because our sampradaya has had such people before. See the six Goswamis, like Rupa Sanatan, how powerfully learned they were. And also Jiva Goswami. In fact, to understand Jiva Goswami now, people are doing doctorate on Jiva Goswami's writings. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was very highly learned, set an example, and preached to Sarvam Bhattacharya, Prakashan Saraswati. So, in this way, the human brain used for mundane material education should be diverted to be used for spiritual education. That is the point we are making. So, in this way, Prabhupada is saying about the very bad situation of Kali Yuga. In this purport. And then, and the last one, how to feel the presence of the Lord now? That is 32. And so we will read 22 par, this thing, translation. 22 onwards, you read till 32.
The so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali, and thus they have put all state affairs in disorder. Are you now lamenting this disorder? Now the general populace does not follow the rules and regulations for eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, etc. And they are inclined to perform such anywhere and everywhere. Are you unhappy because of this?
This is another very good thing we can package in our teaching is habits. See, three things, three hachas we can promote. Health, hobby, habits. These three are very much wanted everywhere. People want, what are the good hobbies that children can pick up? What are the health tips, general health tips? And then, what are the good habits? So all three have a scope within Krishna consciousness. We can combine Krishna consciousness and give it in such a way that will be very much welcomed in many places to present to, like our Keshavananda Prabhu in GIST, they present in colleges using the topic of three gunas and the four regulative principles. Using that they present to the students and it is very much welcomed by many of the... So in this way, he is saying that in Kali Yuga people eat anywhere. Eat anywhere means many people don't eat at home, they eat in the company. They eat in fast food centers, like that. Similarly, sleeping, drinking, mating, all these things they do anywhere. And Prabhupada is talking in the... Of course, in these purports, if you read, Prabhupada is talking about the right and wrong conducts. What is the Vedic conduct and what is modern-day wrong conduct? Read the next one, 23.
O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, incarnated Himself as Lord Sri Krishna, just to unload your heavy burden. All his activities here are transcendental and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of his presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence.
So like this, in all these different shlokas, the Dharma is speaking to Bhumi. Now Dharani is going to speak in the 25th verse, you see. She is also speaking. And in the 26 to 30 verses, she is giving a long list of 40 qualities, I think. How many qualities are there? 40, no? Yeah, yeah, correct. 40 qualities of the Supreme Lord, she is mentioning. What are the special qualities of Supreme Lord? And she is saying that Kali's influence is spreading now. Because that Supreme Lord with these 40 qualities has gone away to his own abode. Like that she is saying. And then in 31, Varnashrama system, how it is not being followed. And 32, we are, I think this one is 32 and 35 are talking about. Her fortunate position is mentioned in 32. Read the 32.
Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by the demigods like Brahma and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the personality of Godhead, gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems by being decorated with the impressions of flag, thunderbolt, elephant driving rod and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me.
So the Bhumi is telling how when Krishna was in Vrindavan, all Dwaraka vasis lamented. When Krishna was in Dwaraka, Vrindavan vasis lamented. When Lord went to spiritual abode, then Bhumi also lamented. Because earlier Bhumi had no problem, because either way, Lord is in Dwaraka or Vrindavan, he was putting his feet on her, Bhumi. Then Lord went to spiritual abode, now she's saying, I am also lamenting. And purpose is, see the very first sentence, the beauty and opulence of the world can be enhanced by the grace of the Lord, not by any man-made planning, he's saying. And then after, from 5-10 lines, Prabhupada is saying, one may ask how we can detain the Supreme Lord on this earth after his mission is fulfilled and he has left this earth for his own abode. The answer is that there is no need to detain the Lord. As it is saying. Even Prabhupada says, Devaki Vasudev called the Lord to come in this world, but they should not have called, Prabhupada says. It is better for us to go back to Godhead. than to call the Lord here. Like the Prabhupada says there. So because Metal World is a horrible place, it's like a jail. Why to invite the Lord into the jail and create an unnecessary trouble for him? You know, he is a happy personality and he is surrounded by pure devotees in the spiritual world. So no one should ask the Lord to become their son. Rather, they should go there and accept him as son. Prabhupada says. Similarly, here also Prabhupada is saying, if Lord's mission is fulfilled and we want him to stay longer so that we can keep watching him. He said, but why do you want to detain him? One should not try to detain him, he says. The Lord being omnipresent can be present with us if we want him at all. By his omnipotence, omnipresence, he can always be with us if you are attached to his devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam. And then he's saying, there is nothing in this in the world with which the Lord is disconnected. The only thing we must learn is to excavate the source of connection and thus be linked with him by offenseless service. We can be connected with him by the transcendental sound representation of the Lord, which is Harikrishna Mahamantra. And then he says below, even by the vibration of radio sound, we can partially realize sound relativity. And by resounding the sound of transcendence, we can verily feel the presence of the Lord. And then the last few lines in the purport says, the offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord himself. And the movement of pure devotees of the Lord all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Only by the propagation of chanting of the holy name of the Lord can we be immune from all the effects of age of Kali. This is a top secret that Prabhupada has released in the purport. These are very loaded sentences. See what he says? The offenseless chanter of the holy name is as auspicious as Lord himself, he is saying. If a devotee chants offenselessly, such a devotee is more valuable for us than the Lord also. You know why? Because from such a devotee we can learn to chant offenselessly. But Lord is not easy for us to access. And then he is saying, such a devotee, one movement of such pure devotees like Prabhupada all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Very beautiful. Only by the propagation of chanting can we become immune to the effects of Kali. So this point, last point, is very important point. See, when you go in a bulletproof jeep, the bullets can be sent from outside, but it doesn't enter the jeep. You've seen a bulletproof jeep? Politicians and all come, correct? Similarly, Prabhupada says here that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, the effects of Kali cannot touch such a person. So, you all must have read about this Narayana Kavach, the sixth canto, correct? No? So, Indra was put Narayana Kavach. Do you know why? So that the demons' astras cannot penetrate it. But what is Narayana Astra? It is not like a Kavach or something that you have to wear. It's a mantra. They pronounce a mantra and in different parts of the body, touch the body and pronounce the mantra. Like we put the tilak in 12 parts of the body, like that. So, Narayana Kavach protects. From the bhoot, preet, pishach and all cannot touch the person. Inimical forces cannot touch. So just as the Narayan Kavach mantra is a shield for protecting the individual, similarly Mahamantra is also a shield against the evil effects of Kali. Neither is saying. So the Kali's effects are percolating into all the people. How is it percolating? It makes the buddhi brushed. The buddhi becomes kubuddhi. In the age of Kali. So when a Kali enters into somebody, immediately you will find his behavior will change. There is one Puranic story. One Brahmana comes home and 7.5 Shani, he is supposed to suffer for 7.5 years or 7.5 months or 7.5 days or 7.5 minutes, like that. So this fellow had the time according to his fate. So as soon as he came home, he went to the went to the bushes for passing water. When he came back, when he washed the feet in the front, backside he forgot to wash. At that time, the Shani Devata comes in a crow, sitting on a crow. So whichever portion he has not put water after passing water, so he enters through that. As soon as it enters, this Brahmana's behavior changes. He goes into the house, they are giving him prasad and he is putting the prasad in the mouth. That stone is coming. Immediately starts yelling, shouting, screaming, like that. And then by the time he finished the food, the king's men come to arrest him because something from the temple is stolen. And he is a pujari, so they put him behind the bars. So 7.5 days he suffers, you will see that. So now when Shani enters somebody's system, their behavior degrades. They speak gali, bad words they speak. And also they become unclean, and then subsequently they speak unclean speech also, and unclean actions. They get trapped and they get punishments also. So the Shani period is a tough period. Some people undergo that period like that. 7.5 is enough. Similarly, Kali is present everywhere, especially in 5 places, which we are going to study eventually. So if one is careless in allowing Kali to sneak in any one of these ways, then Kali enters, our behavior will change. And one, for example, one of the easiest ways I have seen Kali enter in the lives of our college students is internet pornography. People, it is available in their mobile, everywhere there is Wi-Fi, and people get into this. And the result of that is, one becomes pagal, completely crazy. What a wonderful devotee he was. And the next moment you find, he's completely changed person. He wants to delight in Maya. Earlier was delighting in Krishna, delighting in Maya. He gets completely, he becomes very weak, very vulnerable to Maya. And even to maintain him in devotional service is very difficult. Because Kali has entered the system. Just like, how many of you have had viral fever? You have experience personally? Yeah. So when viral fever enters your system, you feel very weak. You take antibiotics, correct? The antibiotics means you put soldiers who are opposite to the virus. The virus is 100 count, you put 1,000 counts of soldiers. And they attack and remove this fellow, correct? No? So that kind of antibiotic force is given by chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says. Offenseless chanting. When offenseless chanting is heard very nicely, it enters into our system and wakes us up, shakes us up, and then it attacks all the evil tendencies in us. In one of the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, he says, it was given in this Art of Chanting Hare Krishna book. I will see whether it is easily accessible. It's a very beautiful statement. Is it big enough? See here. I'll read it out for you. Whether chanted correctly or incorrectly, knowingly or unknowingly, carefully or carelessly, the all-powerful name of Krishna will always give results. The unlimited glories of the holy name cannot be understood with logic, reason or intellect. Only by faith, devotion and constant chanting can one realize the greatness of Shri Nam. In this dark age of Kali, Krishna Nam is the easiest, quickest, safest and surest way to attain spiritual perfection and love of God. In the matter of self-realization, Nam Japa is the king of all sadhanas. And then he says, what does the chanting do? That's the most important part. See this part. This is what chanting does. This much part. So I'll read it out. Chanting Krishna's sweet names, first thing it does is purify the heart. Then it sanctifies and steadies the mind. Destroys the 6 enemies. Shatruche daika mantram sakalam upanishad vakya sampujya mantram samsaro cheda mantram samuchita tamasa sangha niryana mantram sarvaishwaryaika mantram vyasana bujaga sandashta santrana mantram jihve sri krishna mantram japa japa satatam janma safalya mantram. So the very first thing he says is shatruche daika mantram. It destroys the 6 shadripus. And stops birth and death, dissolves sins, scorches the samskaras. See, scorches samskaras. Samskaras are like grooves made in our system. Every time we flow downwards. So those are scorched and closed. Annihilates attachment, induces detachment, uproots desires, empowers one, makes one fearless, removes illusion, bestows supreme peace, delivers prema and reveals the Lord and His Dhamma, shows one's Swarupa and showers Bhakti Rasa and engages one in His Nitya Seva for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Shyam. Hari Bol. See, this many the homework holy name is doing. Can you imagine how much it is, whole name is doing for us? Eh? And if you, anyone who chants. So this is in what page number? Page number is there? Huh? 18. So it's very wonderful. See, Ishit Vikasi Punaha Dekaya Nijarupa Guna Chitahari Loya Krishna Pas Purna Vikasita Haya Braje More Jaya Loya Dekaya More Swarupa Vilas More Siddha Deha Diya Krishna Pase Rake Giya Ye Dehe Re Kore Sarvanash. You know what he's saying? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing this poem. He's telling, Ishad Vikashi Punaha is telling, Dekaya Nija Rupa Guna. The holy name, as I chant it, the power of the holy name manifests in such a way that it starts to blossom by revealing his own divine form and qualities. That means Krishna's divine form and qualities it reveals. Ishat Vikasi Punaha. Vikasi means it blossoms as we chant. It's like a holy name. In the beginning, is our heart is like this closed bud. It makes into a bloom. It blossoms it. And Dekaya Nija Rupa Guna. Krishna's name and form are revealed by the holy name. He's saying, Chitta Hari Loya Krishna Pas. It steals my heart and takes me very close to Krishna. Chitta Hari Loya Krishna Pas. Pas means near. Near Krishna. Purna Vikasita Hoya. Fully it blossoms, he says. Braje More Jaya Loya. And it takes me to Vrindavan Dham now. Dekaya More Swarupa Vilas. And the holy name reveals my Swarupa also. First it reveals Krishna Swarupa, and then it reveals my Swarupa also. More Siddha Deha Diya. And the holy name gives my Siddha Deha. Right now I have Sadhana Deha. And by chanting holy name I will get Siddha Deha, which means as a gopi or a gopa or whatever. Krishna Pase Rake More Siddha Deha Diya. Krishna Pase Rake Giya. And with that Siddha Deha, it takes me close to Krishna again. Ye Dehe Rekore Sarvanash. And it destroys my grass and subtle coverings completely. Powerful, no? So this is the power of the holy name, what it does, he says. Very beautiful verse. What is the page number of this one? 1892 pages, yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes like this. So how to feel the presence of the Lord now? This is actually the... So these sentences are very powerful. Read it again. The offenseless chanter.
Offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord himself. And the movement of pure devotees of the Lord...
See, Prabhupada was an offenseless chanter. Therefore, his chanting had such a potency. Correct, no? It touched the hearts of... See, to the degree a chanter is offenseless, his sound vibration is very powerful. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting was so offenseless that even Jharkhand forest animals got affected. Any of you feel we can catch a dog or a cat and chant in their ears and find out what they do? You have tried that sometime? Of course, we tried once in our IIT days, we tried and the dog ran away out of fear. When we try to go near a dog and chant in the ear to check whether they also start dancing in two-legged Jharkhand animals. Let's check. So because our holy name we chant is not pure, you see. It's an aparadhanam now, correct now? But Mahaprabhu's chanting was powerful, extremely powerful. You heard Gaurakrishna's Babaji chanted in one Rani Dharmashala and went away. Somebody else came to stay there and they heard the holy name vibration sound. Hare Krishna, Krishna. They were wondering, what is this? Where is it coming from? They went out here, there, everywhere. Again they saw from the bricks the sound was coming. The bricks had absorbed the holy name and later on they were releasing it. Continuously for a long time. So in this way, I told you about Gaurakrishna's Babaji, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Srila Prabhupada, this thing has become popular, no? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, everywhere, this is one very popular cassette. Many, many people, even newcomers, have become connected to our movement through this chant of Prabhupada, you see. And Prabhupada chanted very deeply from the heart, out of desperation, wanting Krishna's shelter and support in expanding the preaching movement there. You see? Because he chanted very innocently, offenselessly, it attracted the hearts of even Americans who did not even know the word Krishna. Who Krishna is, they were attracted. Therefore, he is saying, the offenseless chanter of the holy name of the Lord is as auspicious as the Lord himself. Yeah. Sakshat Haritvena, we say, that's why. Then?
The movement of the pure devotees of Lord all over the world can at once change the troublesome face of the world. Only by propagation of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord can we be immune from all effects of the age of Kali.
Yeah. You know, for immunity they give vaccination, you have seen? For children and all they give, no? Vaccination. They go to the villages. Even we also in Yatra time we take some tablets when you know, mosquitoes and all are around now. For malaria, what do you call that? Chikungunya? To avoid chikungunya or malaria, we take some tablets or... Correct, now we do that. For taking care that we will not get some infection. Similarly, the material world is an infected place with what? Can you say? Infected with what? Enjoying mentality is infected with three gunas. So, material world is infected. Karanam. So when we come in this world, we get infected. See, we are like low immunity jivas when we come. Why we become low immunity? We have turned away from Krishna and we have a desire to enjoy. That means we are low immunity. With that low immunity, when we come in a disease-prone zone where there are three gunas, immediately we are captured. Maya japati adare, we say. And then we suffer terribly like this. So now... In such a situation, how we can increase our immunity, build more immunity, and how we can protect ourselves from Maya's three gunas. Purpose is chanting is the way, he says. By chanting attentively, one will not allow the Kali to enter. So, there is one song also, Kali Ra Kukkur. In that song also it is said, Kali Yuga Pavana, Kali Vaya Nashana. Sri Sachinandana Gao, okay, correct, no? So he says in that song, so the Kali is like a kutta, kukur. He's like a dog. It comes to catch you, bite you. You know, when dog bites you, what is the disease? Rabies, they call it, no? And they put some 32 injections around the navel, I think. Correct, no? Around the navel, they have to put some 32 injections when a rabies dog bites you. Similarly, once you are bitten by Kali, the evil effects of Kali are not very easy to overcome. But by chanting of the holy name, we can overcome, Prabhupada is saying. So chanting of the holy name should not be applied after we get affected by Kali. Before Kali attacks us only, we have to wear the protective armor of the holy name. So, and then this 35th verse is a very sweet verse. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. Premavalokaru chirasmita valgujalpaihi Stairyam samana magaran madhuninam Romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitaya.
Who therefore can tolerate the pangs of separation from that Supreme Personality of Godhead? He could conquer the gravity and passionate wrath of his sweethearts like Satyabhama by his sweet smile of love, pleasing glance and hearty appeals. When he traversed my surface, I would be immersed in the dust of his lotus feet and thus would be sumptuously covered with grass which appeared like hair standing on me out of pleasure.
Yeah. See what he is saying? See the third line, Stairyam Samana Maharan Madhumani Nina. Yeah. What Krishna's prema avaloka means sweet glance, loving glance. Ruchirasmita means beautiful smile. Valgujalpai means his very eloquent speech, the way, very smart speech. So Krishna's speech, his smile, and loving glance is so powerful. See, the third line says, even powerful queens like Satyabhama could be pacified by him. Madhumanini naam. One meaning of Madhumanini means jinko manana padta hai. Mana mana kar shant karana padega. Satyabhama ko. Not very easy. Such kind of. Similarly, amongst Radharani and Chandravali, Radharani is not very easy to be pacified. Like in one of the past times, Krishna wanted to promise Radharani, "Main kasam kata hum, Govardhan ka kasam kata hum." And then he said, he asked Radharani, "On whose name should I promise that I will, what I am speaking is true?" She said, "You can promise in anybody's name except your own name. Because you are an untrustworthy fellow." So, in this way you will see Radharani is not easy to be pacified. Of course, Radharani never becomes angry very easily. But when she goes into Manlila, she is very difficult to be pacified. Similarly, Satyabhama also, when Krishna gave the Parijata flower to Rukmini. So, these kind of queens also, by seeing Krishna's loving glance and pleasing smile and intelligent speech, He is able to make them calm, cool and collected. That kind of Lord, like that Bhumi is telling. Kava Saheta, how can I tolerate viraham, separation? Purushottamasya, that Purushottam Lord, how can I tolerate? He's telling. Why? Because when Krishna was walking on my earth, the trees and plants which are standing erect are the Roma. Roma means the hairs on my body. But now that Lord has ascended to his abode, I am feeling deep separation. Like that she is telling. It's a very beautiful verse. Feeling of separation. Prabhupada is writing about separation in the purport there. Yeah. How when Lord left the Bhumi and went to special abode, Bhumi was feeling great separation. This is one of the last things that she said. I didn't get into the dialogue of Bhumi and Bull, which you might have heard from Radhika Vallabhprabhu, must have spoken, you must have heard it. If you get into that, you won't be able to elaborate on these themes. So, how to feel the presence of the Lord now? Two things we have understood till now. One is chanting the holy name attentively and keeping ourselves immune from the influence of age of Kali. This is one thing we should do. When Kali is not entering into our system, then we should study the instructions of Krishna in the Shastra through the Bhagavatam and everything. And when those instructions are applied, then we will get awakened and we can feel presence of Lord at every moment. Both these things have to be done. The chanting is like a bulletproof jacket, which we have to wear every day. And when we are wearing bulletproof jacket, so many enemies are shooting at you, but nothing is happening to you. You are safe inside. But inside, when you are safe, you should not be relaxing. At that time, you have to understand what is Lord's instruction for me by studying Bhagavatam. Imagine, for example, if you are inside a house, from outside enemies are kicking the door, battering the door, they are going to break open the door and come and kill you. When you are inside, right now, you have latched the door inside. They cannot enter, correct, no? At that time, what you will do? What is the best thing you will do? You will go to sleep? They are kicking the door, beating the door, and they are finding out how to break the door and come in. What will you do? No, there is no way to escape. See, this is the only door, for example, all other four is covered. What you will do? Yes, that is the intelligent thing you will do. You will call the police and tell the address, some fellows are outside there, correct, no? They are attacking, please come. You connect with the police. Same thing we have to do. Like the holy name is a bulletproof covering. It will not allow Kali to enter, but Kali is attacking, pushing, some are trying to enter. So what you will do? You have to connect with Krishna by hearing his instruction through the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is Krishna. Correct? Now, what is that verse? Puranarko adunodita. Krishna sudhampakate. When he went, Kalau nashta shamesha puranarko adunodita. Krishna sent Bhagavatam as a substitute to himself. You can imagine, it is Krishna himself. So through Bhagavatam, we can connect with the Lord. And Bhagavatam is the instruction of the Lord also. What to do? So by connecting with Bhagavatam, we can immediately bring Lord to our presence. And when Lord comes, by the time the thieves can break open the door, Lord will lift us up and take us out of this place. We will no more be attacked. Correct, no? So therefore, he is saying, these are the two instructions to feel the presence of Lord now. Chanting of the holy name also brings Lord into our presence. And studying the Bhagavatam and connecting to understand the name, form, quality, past names, that also brings Lord in our presence. Both. Same solution was given by Narada Muni to whom? You remember? To Vyasadev. Let us recite that verse. Yedat atura chittanam matra sparshe chaya muhu bhavasindu plavo drishto haricharyanu varnanam. Who told this to whom? Narada told to Vyasadev. Same thing. He said this chanting of the holy name and studying Bhagavatam is like a boat, he said, with which you can cross over the samsara sagara. Like that he said.